Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Whether you're listening all over North America on the radio or all around the world and halfway across the galaxy on the internet, or maybe some of you listening on subspace frequency, those of you who are off your meds, we're glad you're here too. We don't care about how you got here. We're just glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, it comes on Sunday every week by email. Get you ready for the week ahead, and our blog, which we will send to you every weekday, 5 days a week. If you can't wait till Sunday, go ahead and sign up for the blog. And I know some of you just can't wait to hear from me on a regular basis. So we got the blog for that. Now you can do all that right at the homepage at smallbusinessadvocate.com. I'm excited about having June Fletcher on the show, ladies and gentlemen. She's got a new book out called House Poor: Pumped Up Prices, Rising Rates, and Mortgages on Steroids. And she is going to answer the question, is there a housing bubble? Hi, June. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here, and congratulations on your book.
Well, thanks very much.
Well, as my authors, the authors who are on my show know, you know, we get a lot of books in here, but not a lot of them get on the show. We only pick the best.
Well, I appreciate you thinking that way about my book.
Okay, here's the big question. Is there a housing bubble?
Yes, I think there is a housing bubble overall. Now, just a caveat, you know, there is no one national mortgage market. We have national housing statistics, but, you know, there are many, many different housing markets, and they're all sort of like sine curves. They're all working on, you know, in different cycles. And one of the things I talk about, in fact, in House Poor is how do you tell where you are in the housing cycle? But I'll get to that in a minute. You know, nationally, you know, we've had incredible price increases, double-digit price increases around the country, but there are signs that things are starting to flatten out.
In your book, June, I'm looking at some numbers here. Glendale, California, which is not that's not far from L.A., right? That's 174% increase, appreciation, I should say, over 5 years. And the lowest one on your list of 10, I guess, here is in New Hampshire, 82% over 5 years. So, and then when you look at Miami, 136% increase, I should say, appreciation over 5 years. That's pretty much out of control, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's really amazing. And these are places, you know, not the places that you would necessarily expect. You know, people would think it'd be Palm Beach or Palm Springs.
Or Phoenix.
Although Phoenix has gone up quite a bit. But, you know, what happens often is in markets is that, you know, people have a tremendous sense of value. And, you know, they'll see if a market is overpriced or underpriced, and if they think it's underpriced, they will rush in. And in fact, I'm glad you brought this up, because there's a new survey out by a company called National City Corporation where they looked at 299 metro markets. And the interesting thing is they found that only a few of them were overvalued in 2004, very few.
Mm-hmm.
But now they found that quite a number of them are overvalued. And,
well, how did they become overvalued in 1 year?
What they do is they check it according to how it performed historically,
right,
over time. And so, you know, they're basically comparing apples to apples. They're comparing a market to its historical appreciation rates, which,
right,
is, you know, that's good science. But let me just give you some statistics from this survey. In Santa Barbara, 69% overvalued from historical highs. In Naples, Florida, which is where I have a place, 62% overvalued.
Mm-hmm.
In Medford, Oregon, 55% overvalued. So, you know, these are...
And what is their criteria for overvalued?
Well, again, what they do is they look at price appreciation, you know, recent price appreciation, and compare it to what it is normally over a number of years.
Right.
And but, you know, there are places that are undervalued, too.
In other words, they would say, okay, over the last 20 years, houses have gone up 4%, but in the last 2 years in this location, you know, it's gone up 9% or something like that.
Right, right.
And so that
would... Now, in Alabama, you know, there's a lot of undervalued places. Mobile, Mobile, Alabama's done. It's undervalued by 7%. Decatur, 7%.
What about other Texas is some parts of Texas are doing pretty good and some parts aren't.
Right. Although, now, Texas, you know, we've had the hurricanes. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I talk about in House Poor is, you know, what are the things that you should look about to find out where you are in the housing cycle? And this is very, very important. You know, everyone talks about location, 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 and that is important. But timing, timing, timing is just as important.
Right.
And people tend to ignore that. And, you know, you need to find out where you are in your own local housing cycle. And when I say local, I mean, you know, think of your house like a garden, and gardens have different microclimates.
Mm-hmm.
So you might find in the north part of the city, it's a different microclimate than the southern part of the city. So, you know, though you should look at metro area data, what really only matters is what's happening within 10 miles of your house.
June, shouldn't we differentiate, though, between the parts of the housing economy that are just robust and exuberant because the economy's doing okay? Shouldn't we differentiate between those areas and the places where there are true bubbles, where people are speculating? Normal people, regular people, are speculating and trying to flip, and they're hoping for the what Mr. Greenspan called the greater fool theory, you know, the greater fool to come along and take it off their hands. Shouldn't we differentiate those two?
Well, yes.
Because you're the real estate expert, but I don't think we have a national real estate bubble.
Well, actually, you know, there are a lot of housing experts that do think that there is, you know. Well, again, it's not, there is no national market, but do feel that things have become overheated and that this sort of pace is unsustainable. And,
right.
You know, and there are just many, many signs that things are already starting to turn. Toll Brothers, for example, yesterday talked about how it was downgrading the number of housing starts, that it was you know, it's going to have over the next year. Home builders, and here's something to really think about. Home builders about 3 or 4 weeks ago started selling stock. Now, I'll tell you, home builders lead the pack. I was 10 years feature editor at Builder Magazine.
Right.
And you know, they spend thousands and thousands of dollars on research. And you might as well, you the homeowner, ought to take advantage of this. And you know, if they're starting to cut back, if they're starting to sell their own stock, if they're starting to, you know, cut down on the number of houses they're going to build, you should certainly take advantage of not insider knowledge. But
she's been a real estate and home-related matters writer for 20 years, started when she was only 8, and for the past 10 years she's been the Homefront featured reporter of the Wall Street Journal, one of my favorite papers in the world. Prior to that, she was the editor of Homes Today, and she's a real estate expert, and she's got an outstanding book called House Poor, available wherever books are sold, and she and I are going to talk some more about this right after these messages. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with us today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you, especially now that June Fletcher's with us. June is a new friend and the author of House Poor, which is in your bookstores even as we speak. When it just came out, right, June?
It just came out November 1st.
Congratulations. We're glad to launch it, help you launch it on the show. We've launched a lot of books on this show, and June is a longtime real estate expert, folks. She's written on real estate topics for many years for a number of very important publications. She's an award-winning writer and author, and June, congratulations on your book.
Well, thank you very much.
One of the things that that you talk about, in when we were talking about this bubble, and you know, there are two issues. You were talking about the Toll Brothers are projecting a little bit of a decline in housing for the next quarter, and other indicators in real estate. Some of those indicators are not because the real estate economy is softening, although I'm not saying that it's not, but it's also the impact of the hurricanes. It's also the impact of interest rates. It's also the impact of higher energy prices that are not directly connected to, maybe directly connected to, whether the housing markets are overheated or not.
Well, you know, all of these things, it is a big web, as you point out, and everything is connected. We've had, overall, nationwide, a 10-year housing boom. That's an incredibly long boom. And, you know, always remember, it's hard to remember this, and it seems common sense, but it's kind of hard to remember that everything is in cycles, and what goes up mm-hmm. is going to go down, inevitably. And
Mr. Newton's law of gravity is alive and well in the marketplace, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, so again, you know, you have to find out where you are in the housing cycle. Well, we've had a 10-year boom. It's an incredibly long cycle. You know, usually they go 5 to 7 years. So this one's a very, very long one. And it's been really pushed by low interest rates. Mm-hmm. You know, these are historically low. I mean, it hasn't been this low in a generation. I remember
two
when
generations,
I bought,
actually.
Yeah. I mean, I bought my first house in the mid-'80s, and I was thrilled to death to get a 12.75% interest rate. You know, and so the housing booms and busts are not always driven by low interest rates, but this one has been. So when interest rates go up, and, you know, they're already creeping up, Federal Reserve only indirectly affects long-term interest rates, long-term mortgage rates. It affects short-term rates, which affects home equity lines of credit. But, you know, they've been trying to push up home mortgage rates to cool off this market.
Yeah.
They've had their 12th consecutive rise.
You know, June, I remember seeing Mr. Greenspan's level stare at the stock market back in the 90s and what he did, you know, to basically burst the Nasdaq bubble and all that whole aftermath, some of which needed to happen, but I also am seeing that same level stare that he's shooting at the real estate economy right now, and that's what you're talking about.
Right. No, I mean, there are other signs, too. I mean, there's a new Roper poll that says 3 out of 4 investors say housing is overvalued. So even investors are starting to mm-hmm. you know, realize that it's overvalued. And, you know, that's one of the things I talk about in House Poor is, you know, you should look at what's happening around you when you're buying and selling real estate. And, you know, one of the things you should look at is what are the investors doing and how many investors are there in the market? You know, reading your local business paper, you can find this out. Talking to local realtors, you can find this out. And, you know, investors, they're only in it for the money. They don't have any emotional attachment
That's right.
to their home. So, you know, if they're starting to pull out of the market, it's you know, they can collapse the market. And here's a very scary thought. You know, right now, about a quarter of the homes overall last year were bought by investors in this country. It's actually 23% is the exact figure. I mean, that is an astounding number. And typically, it's around 6%.
Well, it's because one of the reasons
scares everybody.
It's because people, you know, they couldn't get excited about the stock market, and so a lot of people have been moving to real estate. No question about it. The good thing about real estate, though, is you still have a fundamental underlying real asset that you can recover from.
That's true. I mean, and you know, one of the things I would say, if you think, bring nothing back from my book but this, you know, it's to think of your house as shelter. You know, people mm-hmm. have been looking at their houses as their ATMs, as their college funds, as their retirement funds, and, you know, they've been putting too, what worries me is they're putting too many of their hopes and dreams and their financial futures
right.
into their homes, into second homes, third homes, investment homes, and because, again, you know, the stock market has been, you know, disappointing in terms of its performance, and you know, people understand homes in ways that they don't necessarily understand the stock
market.
Well,
exactly, and they can kick it and feel it and look at it, and it makes them feel a little bit better than sometimes in stocks. Folks, in the table of contents of June's book, the first chapter is to buy or not to buy. The second chapter is all about buying under the influence of low interest rates. Also, she says that you are your own secret agent in here. You can do some things yourself to maximize your investment in your real estate. A lot of other issues. You also talk about the global marketplace in your book, June, and I appreciate you making this available. And I've got a lot more questions to ask you. One of the things I want you to do, if you'll come back another day, I want to talk about the impact of real estate commissions on this housing bubble. Will you do that?
Certainly, be glad to.
Let's do that another time. And the book is called House Poor. It's available wherever books are sold, right, June?
That's right.
The book is House Poor. The author is June Fletcher. June, we'd like to get you back again real soon.
I appreciate it. Nice
and
talking with you.
Have a good day. June Fletcher, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. Quick break, right back with Lois Geller. We're going to talk about online direct marketing. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.